transparent pricing is not only one of the most powerful trust signals you can use online, but I will show you how to do it in a way that positions you as an authority, not as an outlier. Welcome to Trust Builders, the podcast where we have transformative conversations with company leaders as well as sales and marketing managers about growing your business by educating your customers and building trust. My name is Hannah Eisenberg, and I am your host. You probably wondered, should I put pricing on my website when none of my competitors do? Will it lock me in or scare prospects away if my pricing seems too high without me able to explain it? Or will it give too much information to my competitors? In this video, I will show you why transparent pricing is not only one of the most powerful trust signals you can use online, but I will show you how to do it in a way that positions you as an authority, not as an outlier. By the end of this video, you will see that sharing prices doesn't limit you. It frees you to win better fit clients faster and build trust before the first sales conversation. Let's get to it. You probably wondered, should I put pricing on my website when none of my competitors do? Will it lock me in, scare prospects away, or give too much away to my competition? In this podcast episode, I will show you why transparent pricing is one of the most powerful trust signals you can use online and how to do it in a way that it positions you as an authority, not as an outlier. By the end of this episode, you will see that sharing pricing doesn't limit you. It frees you to win better fit clients faster and build trust before the first sales conversation. Let's dive right in. So I don't want to spend too much today time on why you should be putting pricing on your website. That's for another time. I just want to start off with a quick sort of story. Imagine you are looking for a new type of software or some really considered purchase, and you have a boss and they asked you to go looking for something. Now, company A is a beautiful looking website at first, and they have a little thing on the top says pricing. When you click on it, it says, please contact the sales team and request a quote. The second company is equally nice and they don't have pricing on their website at all. They don't address as many FAQs. So it's very clear you need to contact sales, but there's no way that you can get any pricing information out of them. Company three, also beautiful website, has pricing on the top. And when you click on it, you get this pricing page. And they might not even say it will cost you this many dollars or this many euros. But what it does say is it explains, look, our pricing is very complex because it depends on these factors. Every price that we give is custom built because of this service that we provide. But here's what goes into it. And a company of with 100 employees in this situation will usually spend between X and Y, while a company with 1,000 employees in this very different situation will spend this and this. Here are the factors that influence the pricing. Here's sort of where we fit in the price range of the industry. And here are the things that how you can save or how you can sort of make sure you're getting a good deal. And you truly understand the value of the product or service that they offer. Which company are you going to give a call? The third company, of course. Immediately, when we as the buyers feel like the company is hiding something, because obviously they know what they charge for their service or their product, and they're choosing purposefully not to share that information with us as the buyer. So there's some reason why they're hiding it. Well, a lot of times business owners or leaders are just scared to scare away the prospects. Or they feel the need to explain first in the sales conversation why they have this price because they're afraid that the uneducated buyer is not going to be able to judge the value without having that sales conversation. And that sort of prevents themselves as business decision makers to put pricing on the website. But as buyers, we always tend to go first with the one that gives us the pricing because we trust them more right out of the gate. Because they're not hiding it. And the better and more powerful you can explain it on your website, the more likely they are to actually give you a call and contact you rather than hiding it. All right. So this is how deep I am going to go into this today in terms of why should you share pricing. What I really want to focus on today is how do you actually do that? What elements do you need to discuss? What do you need to share on your website in terms of pricing? And then I'm going to give you two sort of general types of pricing pages and a few ideas for pricing articles that can go much, much deeper into explaining the things that maybe you can't address in full depth in the pricing page. And then I'll give you a few tips on how to do that effectively. Let's get to it. So what are the elements of a great pricing page or pricing article? Which are the elements that as a B2B company you need to cover on your website in one form or another? Well, I want to say it kind of depends, but it kind of doesn't. A lot of times when we say it depends, it's almost like an excuse not to do the difficult things. So I'm going to give you all the things, but I want to challenge you to see if you can push the envelope to explain to your clients or your buyers all the things in one way or another. Okay? All right. So the first thing that we need to address is what drives the cost up and what drives it down. So imagine a buyer calls one of your salespeople and says, so I got this quote and I got this quote from your competitor and I'm not really sure. How did you arrive at your price point? So you need to be able to explain to that client or to that buyer, what are the things that go into your pricing? It might be that you're using a better or different type of material than the rest of the market. And that's important to know because maybe you chose that material because you had a good reason for it. With that, there might be cost implications. Maybe you chose it because you want to make it cheaper and more affordable for the client. But what are the trade-offs? Or maybe you chose purposefully a higher quality material than most of your competitors. And your buyer needs to understand what that added value benefit is. Okay. There might be in your industry, it might not be materials. Maybe you have services or the economy shifted. And now with tariffs or with inaccessibility of certain markets, maybe there is a shift that you need to now explain that impacts your pricing. There could also be technology shifts. So, for example, AI has a lot of high running costs in the background, and people don't understand that yet. So you need to educate your buyers, not the salesperson waiting on the phone, but before they contact you. Because remember, most buyers today want to complete their purchase decision by themselves, at least 80 to 90%. I think it's 75% of buyers actually want to completely have a sales rep-free buyer's experience. Want ongoing support as you put these ideas into practice? Join the Trust Leader community, a free space for business leaders who believe that transparency and trust are real competitive advantages. Get access to resources, monthly challenges, and live workshops. Find the link in the show notes and join us today. So you have to put the pricing on there and explain and educate them on what is the value, what makes the price go up and down. All right. And then that leads me to the next one. Why are certain companies expensive and why are others cheaper and where do you fit in? So it's really important to explain to your buyers, how do you compare to the rest of the market and to some of your competitors, and why are you more expensive or cheaper? That will help them gauge value and it helps them to understand the trade-offs they're making. So this could be, for example, hey, you're just spending on brand over here And that's why they're more expensive. And the only difference is that we are more affordable and you don't spend on a brand because we're a smaller, more boutique firm, but we have exactly the same product. Or you have mastered efficiency, and that's why you're offering a more affordable choice, but it's not lower quality. Maybe you're adding more services than the other ones, and that makes you more expensive. But you found because of the services that you're adding, the product gets better usage or they get more out of the product. And then where do you fall in that range in terms of your competitors? Well, are you a budget option? Are you mid-range? Are you the premium option? It's really important for a buyer to understand where you're at and what their money gets them, essentially. Then add in a section, and this one's really important, of options and features. For example, if I want to buy a certain product that has multiple features or a lot of, like, for example, software products that can be incredibly complex and they offer hundreds of features, but maybe I only need 20 key features. And I wouldn't know because I'm only comparing on price, but I don't understand how these features impact the price. But I'm paying for a lot of features that I actually don't need. So it's very important to list the options and the features on a pricing page to make people understand, I can do without this. I can go for the lower plan, or I absolutely need this, and this will get me in a more expensive plan. Or if I choose between those two options, then my price will be impacted in this form. All right, so those are the four big things that people understand value. Now, it's really important when we discuss pricing, most people want to understand, is it worth it for me? And that is a really important way to approach a pricing page or pricing information article, whatever you're writing, pricing video maybe even, where you make them understand, what are the trade-offs? What are the low versus high options? Are there any premium perks, any limitations? Is the ROI there? That kind of stuff. Then once you've covered those big things, people always want to know, is there a way for me to save money? Is there a way maybe to get a discount? Do you run promotions? Do you have a partnership offer? Again, coming back to the options before that I mentioned, where if I don't need that option, can I take that out? Right? So those are really good ways of allowing people to not only learn about the pricing, but maybe even if you really want to build trust, take ownership and give them agency over that and let them decide. Obviously, it would be good in a B2B relationship if you at the end have a salesperson guide them, because research has found that if they're completely doing their buying decision by themselves end to end, buyer remorse is a lot higher. So it would be good if there's a sanity check at the end of this to say, hey, this is great, but experience has shown that you might want to add this in and take that out because here's why. Okay. All right. So a few more things I want to mention here. Packaging variations. A lot of B2B companies, especially if they are service or they have a SaaS product, they have pricing tiers. It's good to explain what are the differences between those tiers, and SaaS companies usually do a great job. Service companies sometimes need to be a lot clearer, but as a person coming to the pricing page or reading the pricing article, watching the pricing video, I need to understand what tiers do you offer? What is the difference? What are the trade-offs, etc.? And you need to be crystal clear, able to decide as a buyer, which is my preferred tier. You could also be offering bundles, subscription levels. All this is sort of the same thing. Now, you also need to address, what type of price am I paying? Is this a monthly subscription? Do you offer annual? Do you offer a lifetime price that I maybe just pay once and I don't have to have any monthly subscription? Sometimes it's even a bundle where I have some upfront cost. Maybe there's a service component if you're a software company, and then you implement that, and then there's a monthly license fee. Maybe there's a maintenance fee. So what are the upfront fees? What are the monthly fees? What are the reoccurring fees? Are there any additional fees later down the road that I need to know of? And are there any additional costs associated with that when I buy a product? So maybe I need an additional server if I'm buying a certain software product. Maybe I need to make an extra hire for an administrator because it's a completely new thing. So those are the things we should mention on a pricing page. A lot of times people are really interested in financing options. So is there some way that you can help me to pay in installments, in leases? What are the interest rates? Maybe you are able to push the envelope in a very innovative way in your industry to help people make that purchase. I've also found that it's really a good thing to give people historical pricing trends. So for example, if you had pre-COVID prices and post-COVID prices, and here's what changed, or maybe prices used to be very high and now they're going down because of X, Y, and Z, that helps people sort of orient themselves and give them future expectations of where the price might be going. So that's really good. I already mentioned that people want to make a decision of whether or not it's worth it. And one of the most important things that you need to help them make a decision on is, what is the return on investment? Is this the right decision for me? Does it help to save me time? Does it reduce risk? What is the money that I get back? You probably are familiar with the saying, no one ever gets fired for buying IBM. Well, you need to give them that kind of certainty, right? You need to have them be crystal clear on, if I do this, this will be my return on investment. Yes, it's worth it under these conditions. No, it's not worth it for me just yet. I need to do X, Y, and Z first. All right, then it's good to add expert budget recommendations. So a lot of times we could have a benchmark. For example, I think it's 7%, but B2B companies spend about 7%. I have to look up the statistic here. But if I'm a marketing agency, for example, I could, and please verify this data before, I could say, you know, a B2B company mid-range until this annual revenue will spend 7-10% on marketing, and they will outsource X amount of that. So expert recommendations, benchmarks, percentage allocations, those give really good indications for your buyer if this is worth it, if this is a good product and price for them, if the value is right. Finally, you might have noticed that in all of this explanation, I haven't mentioned once, give them a complete breakdown of price. So obviously, if you can, give them a complete breakdown of the price. If you have a SaaS product, if it's the price is what it is, put the price on there. It's the first thing you do. And then you do all the rest. But the reason why I put it last is because most people, most business leaders today feel like their first inclination or their first pushback is always like, oh, no, we can't put pricing on our website because it's too complex. It's customized. We can't do that. Well, I've just shown you, I think, 12 or 15 different ways of how you can address pricing safely and effectively on your website without having to put the price breakdown in terms of dollars and cents on your website. But again, if you can, that would be fantastic. Itemize the price and say, this is what it is. Here are the extra costs. 100%, whenever you can do this, give them a self-service tool. Give them a pricing calculator that includes all the options and the features, where they can play around with it and say, okay, if I buy this and I add this and this and this, what will be my end price? What if I take this out? How will that impact my price? So it gives them an interactive way of learning about your pricing, your product and service, but also the value that you're delivering. All right, So now that you know what to put on a pricing page, let's talk about how to put it on a pricing page. All right, now that you know what to put on your website in terms of pricing, let's discuss how you're going to put it on. There's two types of pricing pages mainly that I want to mention here. It's the explanatory pricing page. So it's that would be for companies who are like, it is too complex. Every single price is customized. We can put a pricing in dollar and cents on our website. Okay. So you find a way to effectively put all the things I mentioned above, or at least the things that absolutely impact your price in your industry. But really, I encourage you to try to find an angle to help your customers and buyers to really get all the information they need on that explanatory pricing page. You do want to keep that in depth, but really concise. So you don't want to explain every single nook and cranny how steel got more expensive during COVID and what the implication. You can say steel got more expensive during COVID. And then you could link, for example, to a different pricing article, how steel cost changes impacted your industry, etc. Okay? It's just an example I can think of. But keep the pricing page concise because you have so many information points or data points on that page. You don't want to go too broad and deep, but you want to go really concise and deep. Okay? The second type is obviously your normal pricing page. Think of it as a SaaS. Here are the blocks, the tiers, the subscription levels. Here are some explanation, etc. Some FAQs. So that is for companies that can put dollar and cents on there. And then you might have some extra add-on options, extra FAQs, extra explanations. Fine. Always, as I said, try to give them a pricing calculator, an ROI calculator, a savings calculator, financing calculator, whatever self-service tool you can to make it easily consumable and verifiable for them as a particular situation. And whenever you do an interactive tool, it helps them make a better decision for themselves. All right, then we have next to the pricing pages, we have pricing articles or videos. So going forward, when I talk about articles, I also can see that as a pricing video. Either way, or both together are totally fine. Now, the types of pricing or cost and pricing articles could be literally a very straightforward, here's what our pricing looks like, here are the costs, here are the tiers, and explaining that in one big article. It could also be that in your industry, giving pricing is not at all something people do, and buyers wouldn't even know what the pricing models are looking like. So if that's the case, go out there and write an article on what are the most common pricing options or pricing models that are being used in your industry, and what are the pros and cons of each. You want to address this from an unbiased standpoint, and you always want to say, here at X, Y, and Z, we use model X, but we want to educate you on the entire market, so we're going to go and look at every single pricing model and really try to look at it from a consultative, educational, non-biased way. Then financing options. What terms, requirements, fees are in your industry in order to finance? That's a great pricing article. Another one is a budgeting and benchmarking. So what are the industry benchmarks? And I explained that before of percentage allocation. You can have that as a point in your pricing page and then go really deep in that article. Okay. I want you to really educate your buyer on every aspect of your pricing because that ultimately makes them understand your value and trust you more. Savings. So what are the soft savings? What is the time, energy, stress, risk? What are those savings that they, and how are they impacting ultimately the cost, but also the value and the price of your product? You could do an ROI and value analysis. What are the returns on investments? What are the payback periods? What are the break-even points? All these kinds of things is a good way to address, is it worth it for me? What is the ROI? Now, we also have pricing comparison. As I said before, really be unbiased. If there are a few people on your market that have pricing out there, or you can verify the pricing from other sources, always source correctly, and then compare them unbiased. Even though they're your competitors, and you might feel like, oh, why am I telling my buyers, if they're on my website, what my competitor, you know, is charging as cheaper? But this is a great opportunity. There's a reason why they're cheaper. Okay, it might be that you're the brand and they are the boutique non-brand with the same offering. That's fine. You can say that you've been around X, Y, and Z, you're whatever. But you want to keep it unbiased and you want to educate your buyers on what are the differences, where do you stand, etc. All that stuff I explained before. Last but not least, industry-specific costs. So what is a unique driver for cost in your industry? What are some licensing and bundles? What's included? What are the possible discounts? And then this one is one of my favorites, hidden fees. If you're in an industry, and a lot of B2B industries are that way, they have for decades had hidden fees. Be the one who changes your industry, who puts it all out there in the open, who explains a buyer what to expect, what are the fees, how much do they contribute, is there a way to get around them, should they even be charged, why shouldn't they be charged, or why are those legitimate fees that can be charged, but what do you need to look out for? What are the red flags? What are the green flags? This could be anything from setup, support, onboarding service, training, those kind of things. But it could also be sort of questionable hidden fees that people run into and it's like, whoa, where is this coming from? All right. So those are all the cost and pricing topics you could address in articles and videos, and then bubble them up to a very concise pricing page. Now, before I let you go, I want to give you a few tips on how to write great pricing articles or shoot great pricing videos. The first one is you really want to answer one clear question at a time in an article. Don't get diluted or go down a rabbit hole and try to boil the ocean and answer all the questions that someone might have. Just pick a question that your salesperson has gotten to you or you have faced many, many times if you're a business leader in the trenches doing sales conversations. What are those 10 questions that you constantly have to answer? And then pick apart one at a time. Now, if you do that, what happens is you can send, not only put those questions in blog articles or in videos on your website before, and even on the pricing pages as FAQs to link to those, or on your product pages, link to those, but you can send those to people in the buying process, accelerating your sales process drastically by having them already answer those questions. So be transparent and honest. The reason why you're sharing pricing information is not to scam anyone or not to trick them into anything. It's literally to build trust. And if you had ever encountered my trust leader framework, you know that complete transparency is the first principle of the trust leader framework. Without that, nothing will go. The second one is unapologetic customer alignment. And that is so, so important because if you literally put on some blinders and say, I'm going to serve my customer, how can I educate my customer in the best possible way? Then you will be honest, transparent, and you will give them all the decision points and information that they need to know in order to make the right decision for them, not for you. Last but not least, you want to keep it simple. Use plain language. Try to not use your industry jargon because remember, most likely your buyers have never bought in your industry before. and they don't know all your industry jargon. And if you have to use industry terms, define them and make it clear what you're talking about. And then finish your article with a very strong call to action. Lead them to what the next steps are. Give them a pricing calculator. Give them an option to configure the product that you're offering. Let them calculate the ROI. Whatever it is, make the next step the next logical step and close off with a strong call to action. I really hope this was helpful. And it is my sincere hope that this inspires you to share pricing information on your website, to educate your buyers on your value, and to build trust through transparency. Until next time, this is Hannah from Trust Leaders. Thank you for listening to Lead with Trust. If this episode helped you see how trust really shows up and made you think differently of how you can build trust in your business, share it with someone who needs to hear it. Because trust isn't built by accident, it is built on purpose.